To break up the greeting time, people hugging each other and catching up. That's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's probably more important than you guys even listening to me. Maybe I should just skip my message and we'll just spend the rest of the time just hugging and greeting each other. Is that good? And then there's some introverts here going, no way, don't you dare do that. So as my wife Elizabeth alluded to there, as we've been announcing, we're calling this Sunday Growing at Grace. And that's really because we're going to have the opportunity to just sort of collectively revisit one of the primary themes of Jesus' life. And that's, we're gathering in the name of Jesus. I think that would be a good thing to do. Now, this primary theme of Jesus not only defined his life as he walked through the dusty land there in Israel 2,000 years ago. This theme also describes who he was and who he still is. Okay? It's a very important theme. It has a lot of relevance to us. And since we say, as Christians, for those of us here say, well, I'm a Christian, what does that mean? It means that we're following Jesus, but what does that mean? We better follow who he is and what his main theme was in his life, right? We can't just sort of ignore that. And so this is something we really truly need to explore and to continually be thinking about. And I believe that as we do that collectively as a community, this is one of the main things that will drive us deeper as a community. Some of us here have very deep relationships. Other of us are still kind of wondering, you know, what that might look like. But this theme is what will drive us closer. And this theme is that Jesus was all about being a servant. He was all about being a servant. Now, being a servant in our culture today really kind of has a negative connotation to it. Well, I'm not going to be anybody's servant. What are you talking about? You know, I'm more important than that, right? But during the 33 years on this planet, Jesus knew and perfectly lived out his purpose of glorifying his Heavenly Father by doing what? By serving others. Right? Can't get away from that. In other words, we could say that Jesus came onto earth, came to this life to donate his life to us, to all of us, the ultimate act of servanthood. He didn't enter into this world, some people might want to think, to take from us. He didn't come to take from us. And of course, the sobering and humbling reality is that Jesus, of all people, let's not forget, Jesus, the one who created us, gives us very life even at this moment, had every right to take from us rather than to donate. I mean, if anybody had the right to take from us, he did. He does. And now Jesus is asking us to continually explore and define new ways to follow his example. Right? There are two different passages from God's Word that I'd like for us to explore today about this whole idea of being shaped for service. And as we're going to be reading these scriptures, I want us to notice that the Lord has uniquely created and gifted each of us. We're all different in this way. So when we talk about following Jesus' example of being a servant, it isn't about a one way of doing that, right? It's going to be a variety in the way that it's going to look, in the way that we carry out this purpose. And notice that in following, as we go through these two scriptures, that in following the example of Jesus, we may need to stop what we're currently doing in order to be available to serve others. Because I don't know if you're like me, but we're all a little busy, and we might need to stop what we're currently doing in order to be able to serve others. So, in honor of God's Word, keeping those things in mind, I'm going to ask all of us to stand as I read for us from these two scriptures. The first one comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And this is what Peter writes. beginning in verse 8. He says, most importantly of all, you must sincerely love each other because love wipes away many sins. Welcome people into your home and don't grumble about it. Could I just stop there? We could just all go home. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. Yes, that means every one of you. There isn't an exception here. So use your gift well. If you have the gift of speaking, preach God's message. If you have the gift of helping others, do it with the strength that God supplies. You're not going to be able to do it in our own strength. Everything should be done in a way that will bring honor to God because of Jesus Christ, who is glorious and powerful forever. Amen. So that's 1 Peter. And then we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 32. Matthew writes, Jesus was followed by a large crowd as he and his disciples were leaving Jericho. Two blind men were sitting beside the road, and when they heard that Jesus was coming their way, they shouted, Lord and Son of David, have pity on us. The crowd told them to be quiet, but they shouted even louder, Lord and Son of David, have pity on us. And when Jesus heard them, what did he do? He stopped and asked, what do you want me to do for you? They answered, Lord, we want to see. Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. Right away they could see, and they became his followers. May those who have ears to hear the word of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. Now, I don't think I really could do a good job of overemphasizing the importance of knowing the purpose for our life and how that purpose is expressed through donating our life and gifts to others. This is really important stuff that we could revisit almost on a weekly basis. Okay? Many of us here today may have a pretty deep understanding of that truth. If we've really been pursuing a deep relationship with Christ and understanding that he was a servant and what the implications of that is for our lives, we think, you know, I think I've got a pretty good handle on, and I can point to examples where I'm donating my life to others, right? But maybe our familiarity leads us to minimize or to take it for granted in some way. It's like we've sort of been doing that and we sort of take it for granted, and so there isn't that fresh daily waking up and saying, Lord, how would you like me to donate my life today? Can I remind us that honoring God through serving others with our gifts, this truly has life and death implications. Let me say that again because it sounds pretty extreme, like I'm just, you know, being some pastor over exaggerating. Honoring God through serving others with our gifts has life and death implications. If that sounds too extreme, I could share many examples. Let me share an example that I have shared before that I think is very appropriate. This can be seen in the life and death of Elvis Presley. His ongoing popularity may be unparalleled in entertainment history, right? Some people still firmly believe that he is alive today. You may be one of those people. I don't know. In spite of his enormous success, Elvis Presley was, according to his friends, an unfulfilled and unhappy man. He died of obesity and drug dependency at the young age of 42. And in an interview, so we're talking life and death stuff here. I mean, this is not like superficial stuff, right? And in an interview with his wife, Priscilla, she said this about her husband. This is her quote. Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. Think about that. He thought he was here for a reason. Maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he'd go on stage so he wouldn't have to think about it. He would escape from having to really wrestle with that. Think about that. Elvis was unsure of his purpose and what he should be doing. How would his life been different if he first knew that the purpose for his life was to glorify and to honor God? And what if he had known that one of those ways that we glorify God is by truly, as he was trying to wrestle with but didn't really want to deal with, was to serve others with the gifts that God had given him and as God has given to us. That truth would have set him free and possibly saved his life. I mean, is that an over-exaggeration or what? I mean, this is serious stuff. And that is why, unlike Elvis, we too need to constantly really be thinking about this. Because we get busy in all the stuff that's going on in our lives. Pastor Rick Warren, many of you are familiar with, he offers this summary. It's a very memorable summary of this principle. What matters is not the duration of your life, how long we live, but the donation of your life. It's not about the duration, it's about the donation. I mean, Jesus, of all people, shouldn't have only lived 33 years, right? He should have been able to live this long, but it was all about the donation of his life. And so here's the big idea I'm driving home today. You might want to write this down. We are uniquely designed to donate our life to others. And there's a lot of practical application to that. We are uniquely designed to donate our life to others. In other words, we were put on earth to make a contribution, right? We weren't created, contrary to our culture's message, to consume resources. We weren't created to eat, to breathe, to take up space. God designed us to make a difference with our life. We were created to add life on earth, not just to take from it. Now, most of us probably wouldn't disagree with that. We go, okay, that's fine. But then we walk out these doors and then how do we really live our life? If someone were to examine our life, would they say, well, you're really living more to take from this life rather than adding to it? And as Elvis Presley illustrates, that leads to death when we have that backwards. Of course, it leads to incredible life, and it's contrary to our culture's message when we apply this truth. If it was easy and sort of like second nature and we were all doing it, I wouldn't be needing to be here, and we could have just spent our time greeting one another, right? The Lord is asking us to give something back, to donate our life to other people as a way of glorifying and honoring him. And can I add, to donate our time, gifts, and talents, even, you might want to close your ears on this one, even to some people we don't like. I hear the laughter. I'm laughing on the inside too. Because we know there's truth in this, right? To people that may not like us, that, for good or bad, is what Jesus did. And we say we follow him. And what better way to honor Jesus and his life and his death than to donate our life even when it's uncomfortable or painful and that person doesn't deserve it and I've already given too much? And can I? Do we all know what I'm talking about? Okay. I could really just end right there, right? But I can't. I've got a little more time to go, and we got stuff to go. So let me go back into our passage here in First Peter, the first two verses, 10 and 11. Notice here, he says, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. In other words, don't waste it. If you have the gift of speaking, preach God's message. If you have the gift of helping others, do it with the strength. Don't do it on your own. Do it with the strength that God supplies. Everything, that's especially true when it's with someone we don't really want to be serving, right? everything should be done in a way that will bring honor to God because of Jesus Christ, who is glorious and powerful forever. And notice Peter is saying, each one of you, well, except Johnny and Susie, and you guys are the exception here. No, each one of you There's no exceptions. Every child of God has been designed and blessed with gifts. Even if you came in here today feeling like, how possibly have I been blessed in that way? I just don't see it, right? Everybody tells me about how bad a job I'm doing, or they don't like this, or they don't like that. And how are those gifts to be used? Peter makes it very clear. We cannot sit and just sit on our gifts and do nothing with them. They're to be mobilized to serve and to meet the needs of others, right? Our gifts and talents were not given to us, again, to consume for ourselves, okay? Although there's a time and a place where we can enjoy God's blessing, but that's not our primary purpose, right? So if that's what our life is all about, that's what our culture is all about, and we're wondering why we have the problems that we're having, this is it. These gifts were given to contribute to others, and when we don't do that, we end up in the same situation that Elvis Presley found out. And what we see is that we each are to actively discover and to identify how God has uniquely designed and gifted us. Those of you who have lived longer and have really pursued this, we've wrestled with it, we might have some good idea about that, but can I suggest, and I fall in that category, I've spent a lot of time in this area, I'm preaching to myself as much as anything. It's like, well, is there some area, God, that you've gifted me that I'm really not exploring? I've just become too comfortable with things that I'm already familiar with, but how you've gifted me. For example, if we discover that we have the gift of speaking, we're to use that gift to share with others the truth of God's grace. Maybe you've never thought about that. Maybe that's true for you, right? Each of us is made to make a unique contribution to this world. And again, Pastor Rick, he's developed this acronym some of you might have heard before. It's called SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, to help us to identify our unique design. It's sort of a memorable way. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. So when we talk about spiritual gifts, the scriptures talk about that. This is, and the Bible talks in a number of key passages about, the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. It's not something we can demand. They're gifts. And just like a gift, it's given to us by God's grace, right? And then heart, or another way you could say the word heart is passion. What am I really passionate about? What is it that excites me? What is it that motivates me? And of course, that's different for all of us, right? Right? It's different for all of us. Ability. This refers, in a very tangible way to skills that we either naturally have or that we've developed, right? And then personality, things like the differences between introverts or extroverts. The extroverts would have said, yeah, Dennis, why couldn't we just had a whole time of greeting? And the introverts would have said, no, I don't want to do that, right? So we're different in that way. And so we're going to be serving and donating our life in different ways. Experience, of course, every single one of us has a completely unique experience between family and education, our work and our vocation, different pain that's happened in our life. That all, think about how unique that makes every single, if we went around the room and looked at each one of us and the differences in terms of our shape, think about the variety. It's like a kaleidoscope of beauty that God has brought about. Now, I think there's a lot of useful tools out there that Christianity and the church has developed to sort of, really discover a little bit more about our shape. But I think probably one of the best ways to discover where we can make the greatest contribution is just through the simple experimentation. Some of us don't like to experiment. But really, experimentation, trying things new, can sometimes be the best way to really find out. And so, without that, if we aren't willing to try something new, we may never uncover, some unique way that God would like us to donate our life to others. And of course, then we end up missing out on the blessing ourselves, because when we donate our lives to others, what did Jesus say? One of his most famous sayings: "It is more blessed to what? Give than to receive." And we know that, but then do we really live out in a way where we really believe that? Well, now wait a second. I don't know if I'm more blessed by giving. It's like, come on, right? So there's that constant tension. So as we go back and we take a look at this First Peter here in verse 11, we're reminded about really the purpose for the Lord uniquely creating us. There's a purpose for this. Our gifts are to be donated and shared in a way that will what? Bring honor to God. So we honor God by donating our life, by serving others. But of course, there's this obvious challenge. Serving is this opposite of our natural inclination. Most of the time, we're more interested in serving us rather than service. We say, I'm looking for a church that meets my needs and blesses me, not, I'm looking for a place to serve and to be a blessing. We expect others to serve us, not vice versa. But as we mature in Christ, we focus our focus of our lives, it should mature, right? And increasingly shift to living a life of service and donation. And regardless of how much we're already donating our life, I don't think any of us could raise our hand and say, I have lived my life in a way where I have donated it as much as Jesus donated his. I don't think any of us could raise their hand and say that. So we know what that means. There's more donating in each and every one of us, no matter how much you think you've already donated or I think I've donated. And I think most of us would raise their hand, I think I've donated quite a bit. Well, but compared to Jesus, no. So there's more for every single one of us, right? The short video that I would like to share illustrates this truth with great clarity. There won't be anybody that misses the point. Some of us may have seen this video before. I recommend an annual review of this video as a way to continually identify and to confront this enemy within each and every one of us. Jeremy, would you play this video, please?
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Me Church, where it's all about you. Yep. And that's the very lie that we're really confronting today. The church isn't about us. And that's not where life is. It really isn't. And yet, our culture and everything that's surrounding us is telling us it should be all about you. Burger King, you can have it your way. I mean, I go down the... We know. I mean, all the messages we're bombarded with, and no matter how much we've made progress in this area, we are all impacted by it, and there's more donating that each of us has to give, right? And that's where life is. This isn't just about donating our life so that there's no blessing. This is truly where life is. A man approached a pastor and told him he wanted to join the church, but he didn't think he had a lot of time devoted to serving. He was really busy, right? I have a very busy schedule and I can't be called upon to do any cleaning or teaching or to serve in any way. I can't help with special projects or with the students at all my evenings are all tied up, right? I'm busy. Don't you understand? And the pastor thought for a moment and he said, I believe you are at the wrong church. The church you're looking for is three blocks down the street on the right. The man was impressed by the pastor's openness to direct him to a church that would better meet his needs. So he left and he followed the pastor's directions. And when the man arrived at the destination, he was a little startled and he was convicted by what he saw. What he was staring at was an abandoned, boarded up church building. Get the image? At that moment, the man was confronted by and reminded of the life-giving truth that we are uniquely designed and created to donate our lives to others. The emptiness of that boarded up church building is the same kind of emptiness that creeps into our life the more we demand others to donate their lives to us rather than the other way around. This is truly life and death stuff. It's contrary to everything we're being told and bombarded with every day. And then as we go back into Matthew chapter 20, Jesus was following this large crowd, and he had these two blind men there, and he stops and he asks them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Clearly had plans. Jesus had plans on where he was heading, right? He was kind of busy, right? And in the midst of those plans, two blind men start yelling at him, and they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus stops and he says, What do you want me to do for you? He stops what he's doing and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And notice the word "stopped." If we want to be used by God, if we want to serve God, if we want to donate our lives, we must be willing to be interrupted. And that's not easy to do. I'm telling you, it's not easy to do. I could give you stories about times where I missed out on some serious blessings. One of my best friends now, who knows Jesus, his whole life was transformed. I was this close on the phone to say, "No, I'm too busy." He was a stranger. I didn't even know who he was. But he just wanted something from me. I almost said no. I can't even imagine the result of that, having said no. Fortunately, God somehow screamed at me and said yes. Think of it. Most of Jesus' ministry and most of Jesus' miracles, most of them were interruptions. He was minding his own business and he was interrupted. His first miracle, Jesus was interrupted at the wedding. He was turning to turn water into wine, right? After that first interruption, all the people he healed, the blind man, the lame man, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, the dead child, all of them were interruptions. And so we're reminded, Jesus stopped. He allowed those interruptions. And of course, the implication is, if we're going to follow him, we need to be willing to do that as well. With wisdom, right? I mean, we need wisdom in this. It has been observed that a lot of people like to follow the steps of Jesus, but maybe we should also study the stops of Jesus. Because almost every miracle Jesus did, he did because he allowed other people and their needs to interrupt what he was doing. And the more we are fulfilling the purpose for our life, the more our life will be filled with interruptions from other people. That's just the reality of it, right? If our plans are rarely interrupted to donate our gifts to others, we may not be fulfilling the very purpose for being alive. If we're constantly saying no to any interruption because we're trying to just consume for ourselves our own time, we may be missing the purpose for our very life. And so let's identify this common enemy of availability, right? It's huge. It's busyness. And we allow our own plans and our own agenda to fill up our schedule, and we become unavailable to serve others. It's not just about serving here at Grace. That's part of it. This church won't exist if we only have one or two people that are truly willing to donate their lives. But there's all sorts of service opportunities ministering to people outside of this building and when we gather together as a community. And so we need a lot of wisdom to know how are we going to mobilize our shape and our gifts to serve others. And so when we don't make ourselves available, in essence, what we're doing with that attitude, it's almost like we're hanging this do not disturb sign, you know, on the door of our hearts. You know, we walk around, "Don't disturb me, don't disturb me. I've got my plans, I've got my agenda." But that's not what Jesus did. And so, "Oh, but I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus." But then I'm walking around with this do not disturb sign, right? And when that becomes a pattern, that's a problem. That leads to death, ultimately. We say, "Don't disturb my heart, my schedule. I've got my own agenda. Don't disturb me." And I think we can all really identify with that attitude that so easily can creep into our life. It's true for me, and I think it's true for all of us. Now, I can imagine many of us preparing this message, many of us sort of having an objection, at least one objection to what I'm sharing. And so I'll offer just this one qualifier to the principle. Jesus did not meet, so for those of you that are questioning this, It is true. Jesus did not meet every need that was presented to him. Can we all just agree on that, right? He did not meet every single need that came to him. And neither should we. That's not the message today. The key is to begin with an attitude that says, Lord, I'm available. I'm not going to have a do not disturb sign on me, on my heart, right? Lord, show me what needs you want me to serve, and I will do that. And I need the wisdom, and I need you to direct me and to guide me, because I know you're not asking me to meet every single need that comes my way. You didn't do that, and you're not asking me to do that. And as we start with an I'm available attitude, then Jesus will show us, I truly believe, he will show us what needs he's asking us to pause our schedule and to stop for. But it starts with an earnest, Lord, I know you want me to donate my life. Lord, I know that I can't meet every need. So Lord, I need you to show me which needs you want me to meet today and tomorrow and in the coming weeks. I need you to show me. And when we pray that way, watch what happens. Great things happen. Opportunities pop up out of nowhere where not only can we be a blessing to others, they can be a blessing to us. Because the Lord is always looking for people who are willing to be his hands and his feet. We are uniquely designed to donate our life to others. So as I conclude the message, what I'd like to do is make this even a little more personal as the kids come in. And I'm going to ask Lois Manbert, if she would come on up. And yes, I asked her ahead of time, so this is not a spur of the moment. Come on up, Lois. And Jeremy, if you would make this mic. I'm going to hold the mic. But and there's a lot of people I could have interviewed, but I think I just want to. Lois came to my heart as I was praying for this message. So some of you know Lois better than others. She is an incredibly she's just an incredible person, and I've been blessed to get to know her. You guys may not be aware of all the different ways that she is involved here and the way she's donating her life, Grace. First of all, she's on the leadership team here at the church. She's also on the financial counting team on Sundays, and she's also an incognito prayer warrior during our church services. So there's a lot of ways that she's donating her time and her life. And so I'd like to start by asking, Lois, what's one of the things that you appreciate about Grace Covenant Church?
Well, first of all, I was so welcomed when I first came in. I didn't start looking for a church. There was a long period in my life when I did not go to church. I was raised in the Covenant Church in San Francisco. And then when I got married, things, you know, having children and all of those kinds of things. But when, so after my husband died, I thought, that's the time I've got to go and find a church. So I went around and I visited all kinds of churches. And they were very nice and all of this. But when I came here, I thought, well, gee, you know, my great uncle was one of the founders of this church. I should go and investigate that. And I just found this was home. It just felt like the place I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And everybody has been so friendly and welcoming, and it's just been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Lois. You were attending here, once you've decided to make this your home, you were attending here for a little while before you had decided to sort of donate your life, so to speak, here to the church and what have you. And I was wondering if you could share a little bit about what changed for you to go from sort of being someone who was here and then donating some of your life to us.
Well, I've been involved in a lot of different organizations over my life, and I never join an organization where I don't want to do something. I don't want to just be in it. I want to be part of that. I want to make it work. And, so it was the same thing here. After I came for a while, I said to Pastor Cameron, well, you know, is there something I can do in the church? And that's how I got to counting the money. And I like counting money. Mm-hmm. The more you give, the more I like to count it. And that was great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't want to be just a, I just don't want to be sitting. I want to be doing.
Yes. Amen. And so you've definitely stepped full force into making yourself available. And we greatly, greatly appreciate that. And so you can hear a little bit of sort of her shape coming in terms of her experience and sort of background and passion and getting involved in that way. And that's what brings her life. And that's what brings ultimately all of us life here. Okay. And maybe the last question I'd ask is if, what encouragement would you have for anybody here that maybe is wondering whether they should donate their life in a different way to this church or made in a new way or maybe for the first time? What encouragement would you give to anybody in that way?
Well, I think if you have that, if you have the need for being part of something, there's all kinds of things you can do. Little jobs and big jobs and, you know, you don't have to be part of the leadership team to be, you know, really in the church. There's always something you can do. And I think any kind of an organization you're going to be part of, you really need to be working in it. You know, you can't just sit and not do anything.
Amen. I think we can just end the sermon that way. Lois, thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Very, very, very well said. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Sarah, that she's in the back, to come on up. And just as I share, just a couple final thoughts. We are in a season of change here at Grace Covenant. It's Grace Covenant, as Percy has reminded us, who's been here since the beginning of time. There's been a lot of changes at Grace Covenant over the years, and I think this is a great time for all of us to consider using this time in the life of Grace Covenant to experiment, as I was talking about earlier, and to reevaluate how we're donating our life to this church, because it doesn't belong to, I mean, ultimately it belongs to Jesus, but we are the church, as the kids on the video talked about. So without us collectively donating our lives, this church, there is no church, because it's not the building, right? It's us collectively donating our life. The lifeblood of this church is the personal community that is developed as each of us serves alongside each other for the glory of God. That's really what it's all about. And without that lifeblood, this church will shrivel up like that illustration I used earlier. The building will close down. There will be no community of faith that exists here. And each of us has an opportunity to make a difference here. We are uniquely designed to donate our life to others. Would you pray with me as I close? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful that you're so patient with us. We confess, Lord, that so often we consume more than donate. That we live our lives for ourselves more than living our lives for others. And not only do we confess that, but Lord, we recognize and acknowledge today that does not lead to the life that you have designed for us. And so we miss out. And so, Lord, we need you because we're so tempted to live for ourselves rather than to give our life away as you did. So, Lord, would you help us to do that? We can't do it on our own strength. I ask you would do that for each and every person here today who may be wrestling with this and trying to find some new and some fresh ways to not live for ourselves, but to truly give our life away as Jesus did. Lord, we look forward to the work you're going to continue to do in each one of us and in the life of this church here at Grace Covenant. Lord, we praise you, for you alone are God. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.